WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively down here. Fadley's, I call it our home away from home. We haven't been, I envision we'd be doing this once a month the last 2 years. Don and I have managed to sneak in here with masks once or twice. Brian Frosch is here, the Attorney General. It's all presented by the Maryland Lottery, as well as our friends at Goodwill Industries, giving away some Betty Boop scratch-off tickets. And I just want to hold this platter up so everybody can see.
Don't get it too far away from me.
No, that's all right. Here it is right here. Fried oysters, new.
New to the menu.
Look at that crab cake.
Brian, I'm going to warn you. I ate one of those about 30 minutes ago, and I had to go get some Raven beer to wash it down because it was that delicious.
God, this looks amazing. Gorgeous.
Now, you know, Don, I go ahead.
I'm going to say, and everyone, you know, the minute this airs, my phone will blow up and say,
when's she coming to King's Cove?
Ask Amy. Alicia told us earlier today, said you guys are getting calls down here all the time wanting to know if they can make reservations for the Cadence. So Damie Hahn has informed me, you can't get a better news source than that.
All right.
That sometime early this summer, you will see action at the Catonsville Fadley's. There will
summer?
Be renovations underway.
That's ambitious. All
renovations
right.
Underway.
I'll see you in the fall, but I'll be there. You know, I love you. I've done these construction okay. projects. I'm in the middle of one of them. I wanted to ask you because, like, we said Fadley's to you and you lit up about 2 years ago on a Zoom. And I don't associate you with Baltimore, strangely enough, right? Like,
right.
You're that... that guy over the whole state of Maryland, and you're in Annapolis, but you're probably a Montgomery County cat. And you tell me, you were in Baltimore 5 days a week,
yeah.
Most of the last 30 years-ish, kind of,
well,
sort of, right?
No, not most. Yeah, as AG,
right.
Yes.
Okay.
And the pandemic hit, and we've ended up working mostly from home. I mean,
so you don't get this kind of thing?
I do not.
Well,
I mean, I get whatever
day.
My wife lets me have, and it's not.
You may want to box some of this up for the wife.
Yeah. I'm not a deviled egg guy here, but
they're good here.
Man, I would that is a good looking deviled egg. I
yeah.
No doubt about that.
Well, let's talk Attorney General because you are wrapping up. First of all, the number of calls I got and it had to pale in the number you got as you were trying to make the decision. I'd get called, you know, weekly. Don, what's Brian going to do? What's Brian going to do? I said, well, believe it or not, you know, I'm not a personal confidant of the Attorney General. I'm assuming he's weighing all of his options. He's a thoughtful guy. And when he decides, he will tell us. What went into the decision? Couldn't have been easy.
It was the hardest okay. political decision I made in my life. Much harder than the one to run. I love the job. I feel good about what we've accomplished. I thought I had a pretty easy path to re-election.
Yeah, I'd say.
I was going to say you would have won.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a whole lot of people.
Yeah.
You're not 100 years old. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Well,
like,
you know, but I'm 75, right?
Are you really?
Yep.
I didn't Google you the right
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
I really thought you were like in your late 60s. I had no idea.
Yeah,
well then
you
look damn good. Look better than Mueller does.
There you go. And I'm not even 72 yet.
Well,
so
he's got a suit on.
But, you know, the thing is, I didn't want to just cling to office because I could. Chuck Grassley, I think, is a great advertisement for somebody who stayed too long. And there are a whole bunch of others.
Maybe Pat Leahy. If we want to, let's be bipartisan, you know.
But. So I didn't want somebody to tap me on the shoulder and say, hey, time's up. And I love the job, but I thought if I'm not going to retire now, when am I going to retire? Because I'll be 80 at the
right.
end of the next
These
term.
Next 4 years
well,
are important to you.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that, Attorney General. I always remember Bob Dubell, longest serving superintendent in Baltimore County Public Schools.
By the way, his name's on, his autograph's on my diploma.
Well, one of the great human beings in education in the state of Maryland, still as sharp as ever. But when he decided to leave, I said to him one day, I said, Dr. DeBell, I'm just curious. You're still energetic. You still have great ideas. You'd be reappointed easily. And he said, he always talked like Jimmy Stewart. You know, he has this sort of Jimmy Stewart kind. And he said, Don, he says, you got to understand. He said, I want to be like Fred Astaire. He said, I want to walk off the dance floor while I can still dance, you know, and that was his point. He didn't want somebody to tap him on the shoulder and say,
right.
Bob, you were great for a time being, but
Don's
lost.
Being modest because he winds up in the office and you could have run. You would have had Kevin's army of energy at some point. You could have been involved and you didn't want to do it. You had no interest in doing it.
That's why
it.
I have great one. I'm going to out Jim Smith. He won't mind that I
well,
do
I've
this.
Never seen
no,
you
no.
happier than being a county executive. It was the pinnacle of everything you'd ever wanted to do.
One of the few times, why I have such great respect for the Attorney General and others who dip their toe into the public sector. One of the angriest moments Jim Smith had with me was when he was preparing to leave. He really wanted me to run for county executive. And I said to him,
I don't know this. Boss, this is good. I need
well,
beer.
I don't normally at Jim this.
Tell
way.
Me.
And
talk
I said,
me.
I said to him, I said, look, I'll sleep on it, but I'm pretty much sure I know the answer. And I went home, talked it over, and I came back. I said, I'm just not going to. And Jim rarely angry at me. And we had a great relationship. And he was angry for 24 hours, and then he got over it. And the reason for me, Nestor, is it's one thing to be behind the scenes. And it was very different. And we can talk about public office in the street. It was very different doing 7.5 months to succeed Kevin in wake of a tragedy when you know you're not going to run. So you literally, we're going to talk about the Attorney General's guiding light of doing the right thing. Literally for 7.5 months, people are often very complimentary. Man, it was easy.
People thought they had something in with you.
I said, what could have been easier? I wasn't going to run. Every decision that came to my desk was, what's right, what's wrong? Call it a day. Doesn't really matter who's mad at me. So when you're in the public eye, that scrutiny, particularly with social media, and the vitriol of today, I don't know if that factored into your equation or not, because I haven't seen much of it directed your way. But
he has.
I've seen a few.
The vitriol of social media, yeah, and the lack of fun that it has made it. Was that a factor?
A little bit, not too much. I mean, I like anybody else in a high-profile position, I get the death threats and the hate mail and the tweets and all that stuff, but it bounces off me. That doesn't bother me that much. It was a very difficult decision to make, but once I made it, I felt at peace with it. So,
well, when you look
very
back,
comfortable.
Let's talk then. Let's look at your legacy. I imagine there are things that when we write the book on Brian Frosch, there will be this, I'm really proud of X, and I was really frustrated by Y. What's the really proud chapter?
You know, there are a lot of things, and some of it comes from my legislative work, and a lot of it comes from my work as AG. But let me just focus on the AG part for a minute. You know, when I was running in 2014, I said I was running because I wanted to be the people's lawyer. And that's been the guiding light for me. I think Steve Sachs was the first person in Maryland to say that's the job of the Attorney General. And I found the office to be an incredibly powerful tool for protecting Marylanders, for improving their lives, and for delivering justice. And that's been our aim throughout my time as AG. I mean, we've gone after folks who take advantage of people or hurt people because they have the power to do it, because they're filled with hate. One of the first things I did was to issue guidelines for all the law enforcement agencies in the state prohibiting racial profiling. And we were the first state in the country to do that.
Wow, I don't think people would know that. Right.
Yeah. I got a lot of calls from AGs afterwards saying, hey, send us your guidelines.
Sure.
And then they
was this a reaction
them.
To Baltimore on The Wire and 20 years ago and incarceration rates? Was it in regard to that?
It was, yeah. I mean, it wasn't Baltimore. It was the fact that you see across our country policies and practices that make it difficult for people of color. And
we talk about redlining here all the time being sort of the original sin.
You name it.
Well, slavery, and then
We went after businesses and policies that crushed people down into poverty. One of the things that I'm really proud of, we started off after the racial profiling guidelines, we went after the cash bail system, because basically we have thousands of people in our jails for only one reason. They're poor. Somebody, some judge set cash bail. In many cases, it was $100 or $250 they had to come up with, and they couldn't do it. So they'd sit in jail for days or weeks or months awaiting trial. Not guilty, not found guilty by anybody, just because somebody said...
And now they don't have a job if they had a job, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. So, you know, we worked with the Court of Appeals to get the rule changed so that if a judge is going to set a financial condition for someone's release, they've got to determine if the person can meet that financial condition. And it's changed the face of bail in our state. Another thing that I think was really impactful that we did is we sponsored legislation to stop the state practice of revoking driver's licenses or suspending driver's licenses for people who failed to pay their traffic tickets. And, you know, it's the same thing, Don. You know, you don't have $100 or $75, and of course they pile up the longer you don't pay them.
And then they bring the boot.
Yeah, your registration can get pulled, but also your driver's license gets suspended. How do you get to work? Either you break the law and risk going to jail for it, or you don't drive, and it's very difficult to get to work in most areas of the state. The law passed became effective in October of 2020. Immediately, they reinstated the driver's licenses of 112,000 people. And
wow.
Yeah.
That's 112,000 lives changed.
Yes. And every year, it's...
And their spouse, and their children.
Yeah.
And
families left. Yeah. Well, that gets me to another question, Brian. I should know this. I think we've talked about it before. It was one of the things that Kevin Kamenetz felt very strongly about. He really was opposed to the cash bail system. And I've had so many people say to me, it's one of those things when I look at it, I think, why should it be about bail? In other words, it should be whether or not you're dangerous.
Right.
No matter, if I could put up $1 million, but I'm dangerous, why am I on the... Where are you on cash bail, and where are we as a state?
So, you know, we've pretty much eliminated it. Judges can still use it. They still use it occasionally, but very rarely now. And there are two factors that a judge should use to determine whether or not somebody's released pretrial. One, is the person going to show up for trial? And the other is he or is she... a threat.
Yeah,
if
seems
we let him out,
pretty straightforward to me,
right? And so, you know, I think we have a long way to go in terms of refining how those decisions are made. And one judge does it one way, and another judge does it another way. But those are the tests that ought to determine and do now determine whether somebody's going to be released prior to trial.
So we've got some of the successes, some of the things you're proud of. Frustrations. You look at it, and you're going to say to your successor, damn, I tried. I just wasn't able to get this one over the finish line. You're in that meeting with Katie or with Anthony, and you're saying, I tried, guys. I just couldn't get it over the finish line.
Think you're in charge, right? You're the AG. You're getting everything you want. That's not, you know, this is the chance to say everything you don't have that you'd like to have, right? Literally.
Right. I mean, so we have people exploiting our consumers and our folks in Maryland every single day. We're in the midst of some investigations that I'm pretty sure aren't going to be wrapped up before I leave office. And I can't talk about what they are, but
sure.
That's very frustrating. We have some cases that are going on that have taken a long time and that may not get wrapped up. We're going to fight like hell to make sure that they do. But, you know, some of those will hang over. And the good news is I think we have two very highly qualified people running for the office. And I'm hopeful that they'll continue our work.
You said we've really been – that's, you know, I hadn't thought about it until you just said that. But, boy, have we been fortunate – in the state of Maryland, haven't we, with the quality of attorney generals from Joe Kern to
Joe
Steve
Kern's
Sachs.
Right.
I mean, Doug Gammon, we've had good attorney generals.
Yeah. I think we've been very lucky, and I think we'll be lucky in the next go-round, too.
When's your last day on the job? When do you wrap up?
It's sometime in the first 2 weeks in January.
So you got a long way.
I mean, yeah, you got, I got nine
you got,
months.
Yeah, you got a lot of time.
We're gonna run through the tape. We got a ton of work to do, and our guys are doing great stuff. I mean, later today, one of our major initiatives this year during the session was to get rid of ghost guns, and I'll be testifying at 1 o'clock in the House Judiciary Committee. The bills have passed both the House and the Senate. but you know, we'll be urging them to.
Will that make a difference, or is that just a feel-good thing? Tell our listeners
Well,
why.
Well, Theroux brought up ghost guns in this spot.
Tell us why it will make a difference.
There, two big reasons.
I mean, this is your testimony. You can practice.
I mean, so first of all, for folks who may not know what ghost guns are, people buy kits that they can put together. And the advertisements.
I saw this in James Bond once.
Insane.
Yeah.
Yes.
You buy a kit. It's 80% done. They advertise that, you know, you can put it together in an hour or two, sometimes even less than an hour if you're good. They have no serial numbers. So two things happen. Number one, you don't go through the background checks that are required for somebody who owns a gun in Maryland. You may be a hardened criminal, and you can get a gun because the manufacturer will sell it to you. And two, you can get one.
And the manufacturer's off the hook because it's not really a gun. It's just a kit.
They say, yeah, we're just selling a kit. It's not a firearm. So our bill defines it as a firearm. So, you know, number one, we don't know if prohibited people are getting the guns. Well, actually, we do know they're getting the guns. We just don't know who they are. But also, you can't trace them. You know, you can't say, oh, this is Joe Blow's gun because look at the serial number. It's registered, you know, to him. We can track it down. So those are two problems. And the result is the following. They're exploding in crime. You know, the numbers in Baltimore City are horrifying. They're horrifying across the rest of the state. They're finding ghost guns used in crimes more and more. It's a gun of choice for criminals.
Well, my mind immediately goes, Attorney General, what about you? I mean, listen, young criminals are pretty entrepreneurial. So I immediately go to little sweatshops garages all over the city where I got a bunch of little kids putting together guns. I'm selling them. I've got an operation going.
Hell yes. The Baltimore City Police busted a drug organization last summer. And they found 40 kits that were not assembled and 15 ghost guns that had been assembled by this gang of drug dealers. And, you know, they can't get them any other way. So it's a cheap and easy way to do it. And the other thing is kids can get them. I mean, we had you know, the old saying, nobody knows you're a dog on the Internet. And we had a case in Montgomery County, Magruder High School, 17-year-old, bought a gun online, put it together, took it to school, shot a 15-year-old. A few months before that, there was a murder by, I think he was a 15-year-old, who killed a 20-year-old. 15-year-old had a ghost gun. And it's just, it's a scourge. And the legislation that we've sponsored is going to put that stuff out of reach for criminals.
Well,
and for
your
kids.
Job is to stay a step ahead of the criminals, which is theoretically impossible, right? It's about they're going to do what they do, and now we need to prosecute.
Yeah.
They're young entrepreneurs. Listen, last question, we'll let you run. You've got to get to Annapolis to testify. We want you to have a chance to eat your crab cake and oysters before you get out of here. We get asked all the time. The number one issue across the state, across the United States, certainly in Baltimore City, crime. What can an attorney general for a state do in partnership with a mayor and a state's attorney to drive crime down in this great city?
So one of the first things we did when I was elected is we put together an organized crime unit. We only have 8 or 10 lawyers in the unit at any given time. They go after the big conspiracies, the gangs, the organized crime. And we've put behind bars some of the most dangerous people in the state. You know, there are folks who are violent, who are selling. We busted a gang a couple weeks ago that had 5 kilos of fentanyl. That's enough to kill 5 million people.
Wow.
It's I don't know if you remember the name Sebastian Dvorak. He was a bartender.
He waited on me before. Yes.
Yeah. Shot in the chest on his way home from work on his birthday. Just been celebrating.
Now,
his birthday.
These were people who came into the city to commit crime from out of state. Correct.
Well, this gang was mainly in Baltimore. So we were investigating the gang, and as we did our investigation, we found out that the members of the gang were the murderers of Sebastian Dvorak. We were able to prosecute them and put them behind bars as a result. So you know, the state's attorney has a tough time. They see a drug deal, they see a murder, and they put together the evidence to put that guy or those people behind bars. We're able to expand it. We're able to look at who else they're dealing with, put up, and do a complete investigation and look not only at that particular crime, but over a series of crimes. I mean, we had a bunch of kids who were doing carjackings, violent carjackings. They were pistol whipping people, beating them up even after they got control of the car. And there was one carjacking. We were able to link that to, I think it was 14 or 15 others. And
how long do these people go to jail when they do that to my wife or to his wife or to your daughter?
It depends. I mean, it can be 5 years. It can be 25 years.
I'm so pro death penalty, and this is where he and I get
we get real wide on
what should be done with people who pistol whip little old ladies in back seats.
Let's make that the next time we have the attorney.
I would make a very good attorney general.
The attorney general has to go testify. Attorney General Brian Frosch, what a great visit, huh?
Thanks for coming by. Elbows up.
Hey, man.
Get these oysters
here.
Yeah,
make sure he has time to
eat. No stranger to Baltimore.
Show off what he's going to be. Look at this.
Look, I would almost eat those deviled eggs, and I don't even eat deviled eggs.
There you go.
And the oysters made me drink beer. We're down here celebrating with Betty Boop. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, as well as our friends at Goodwill Industries. We are at Fadley's, which I call the epicenter of Baltimore Positive.
Absolutely.
Right? Just sort of where it was born. So it's good to be back in the city, good to be maskless, and good to be getting good people some crab cakes serving us right. We have more from down here. Stay with us. We are live at Fadley's in Lexington Market. We are BaltimorePositive.com.